First, Dr. Temple Grandin is an associate professor of animal science at Colorado State University. Grandin also designs livestock handling facilities, and she has autism. She chronicles her experiences in a book called Thinking in Pictures and Other Reports from My Life with Autism. Grandin remembers the frustration of not being able to talk, but there came a time when she was able to use language.
By the time I was 3.5 years old, I could use language. But one of the things is I'm a visual thinker. And also a lot of people with dyslexia and other learning problems are visual thinkers. I don't think in language. I think in pictures. And in order to think about something, I have to have a picture. And that has helped me with my work with animals, because animals don't think in language. They're going to think in pictures.
But to get along with other humans, you needed to have language. How did you make the connection between the visual thinking and the verbal conversation?
Well, it's sort of like acting in a play. You just sort of learn what you're supposed to do in different situations. And in order to figure out how to do things, I had to build up a tremendous library of knowledge in my head, where I'd have examples of things that I did. You know, this worked, and something else I did, it made people mad. And in order to figure out what to do in the new situation, got to kind of go back and scan my library of experiences and go, well, you know, if I do such and such, that's rude, so I better not, you know, do that.
Can you give me an example of a visual image that you've translated into language or interaction?
Well, one of my earliest visual images was of the Lord's Prayer. I mean, when I was a little kid, the Lord's Prayer didn't make very much sense. They talked about the power and the glory. And the power was a picture of an electric tower, and the glory was a rainbow. And thou art in heaven, that made no sense at all, because I wasn't able to make a picture of it.
But you've since talked to other people who are autistic, and they've had similar problems?
Yes, most people that are autistic are visual thinkers. There are some that are not. But the thing about autistic thinking is that it goes detail to general. Most people's minds find the general principle first and then add in the details. For me to figure out holes, I have to like put a whole lot of little pieces together. And after I collect a whole lot of little pieces and start putting them together, then I see how they fit together into a whole. It's sort of like if I gave you a jigsaw puzzle that had 1,000 pieces and it was just in a box and you had no idea what the picture on the box was, you start putting it together. After you get maybe a fourth of it together, you're going to start to see what the picture on the box is. That's sort of how I think.
Is that true for other experiences you've had? In your book, Thinking in Pictures, you talk, it seems to me, similarly about touch, that there are people who are autistic who, in order to understand the world, need to touch enough of it to create a picture?
Well, you see, in autism, you get different degrees of sensory scrambling. I had problems with sound sensitivity, loud noises hurting my ears. But there are some people that remain nonverbal, where seeing and hearing just gives them scrambled information. It's sort of like a really bad cell phone connection, kind of fading in and out as the car goes up and down the hills. It's like a bad TV full of static and snow that may be fading in and out. You know, sort of like the cable getting messed up in a storm. You know, the information doesn't get through, and touch is the only sense that still works. Vision and hearing are just giving them scrambled information.
I want to continue the discussion of touch, if you will. It's related, I think, to the creation of the squeeze machine that you invented. You were, what, 18?
One of the problems that a lot of people with autism have is sensory oversensitivity. I couldn't stand to be touched. I wanted to feel the nice feeling of being held, but it was just too overwhelming. And another thing is deep pressure. It was very calming. One of the problems you have in autism is that the nervous system is way, way, way hyperactive. So I was desperate to get my nervous system calmed down because I was just, you know, completely hyper. And I noticed that when cattle were put in the squeeze chute for their vaccinations, that sometimes the animals would just relax. So I went and tried the squeeze chute. And that's where I got the idea for the squeeze machine from. And I found that it did help me relax. But now I'm taking an antidepressant medication. And I can tell you right now, without antidepressants, I wouldn't be able to function.
Can you describe the squeeze machine for me, please?
Well, basically, it's sort of a padded version of a cattle squeeze chute. And the way a cattle squeeze chute works is the cow's put in between two movable panels that press on the sides of the body of the cow to hold them still for vaccinations. And that's basically how the squeeze machine works.
Why?